very thankful this morning to be back in the house of God. If you're happy to be alive, say amen for me. Amen. We know that it looked like the time got some folk. We'll see them pulling up about 10, or the afternoon service will be a little bit larger than it was. They get a lot more people to hear God this afternoon. Amen. Turn your Bible to John chapter 8. We're going to be picking up right there in John chapter 8. And we're just good to have those who are visiting with us. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you aren't a guest of the audience. And we pray today that you will become a member of the Church of Christ by obeying the gospel, believing that Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you. Hear that? Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Son of God. And God then will add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. Amen? This morning, John chapter 8. A lot of good studies from John chapter 8. Amen? If God were your father, We're going to start in verse 31 to bring us back from last week. Kind of slow this down just a little bit so we can get, there's some meat in this text. So if you're taking notes, you want to take notes this morning, it'd be good if you really want to get the benefit of the book studies as we do verse by verse, is that you read the text before you come. You read it. And if you really want a challenge, you go after my sermon title, because all of them going to come out of text as what I believe to be the main thought of the text. And so it's a good way to study. It also gives you more insight. When you get here, you're ready for the explanation of the text versus trying to understand it as I go. Amen? Some encouragement there. Verse 31. Let's go back there. Verse 31. The Bible
says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed?
And this statement is directly to the Jews who were believing. There were some Jews who didn't believe in him, but there were some who were starting to catch on and becoming disciples. And he says to them that if you continue my word, then you are my what? Disciples indeed.
And you should know the truth.
And so he's saying the way you continue to be a disciple is you continue in his word. So for those of you who got baptized and you're not continuing to worship, you're not continuing his word. So disciples have to get baptized and then continue to live according to the word of God. Now, he said in verse 32, and you shall know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
Now, Jesus is true. He said, I am the way, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the light. So it's very simple. He said, to continue in him, in his word, is to continue following truth. That's basically what he's saying. Now, verse number 33.
And Jesus answered.
So these Jews answered back to Jesus. He said,
We be Abraham's seed.
Now, right there, stop right there, Brother Wayne White, because this is the beginning of an important part of this study this morning. He said, now, it is about Abraham's seed being descendants of Abraham. These guys are living under what we call the patriarchal, mosaical dispensation on the Old Testament law. So they understood they were descendants of, from a physical standpoint, of Abraham's seed. And so, and God had promised through him all nations would be blessed. So we call the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament were called children of Israel. Children of Israel. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. So there were three dispensations of time in the Old Testament. One was called the patriarchal dispensation, or the time period, or the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Moses came on the scene, and that became what we call the Mosaic or Mosaical dispensation or time period, where you got one time period with the patriarchs, and you got a second time period of Moses all the way up to the New Testament. So when Moses came on the scene, there came a new law where they called the Ten Commandments. And those Jews or those Israelites then would follow the Ten Commandments all the way up to Jesus' death. Upon Jesus' death, he stopped the Ten Commandments and started new commandments. That's why we don't remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What we do is memorial is the communion, because we are considered Christians, and Christians were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11 and 26. There were no Christians under Old Testament dispensation. Now, so that's pretty simple. Now, what they're thinking about is that you're saying we come out of bondage, or we came out of slavery. What they're thinking about is when Moses delivered them from Egyptian bondage, when they were in slavery. So they think that's what he's talking about, and this word free has thrown them. They're thinking he's talking about, we're already free. We're not slaves anymore. We're not in bondage anymore. We're free. But Jesus is talking about freedom from sin. And what he's saying is that, I talked about this last week in detail, and just, let me just say, the CDs are free to members and to visitors. And it's on the website every Monday. Sean is really good at getting it uploaded, the sermon that I preach. And the sermons are uploaded pretty quick. So you can use your home, your internet, you can use your radio, just download it to your phone. Listen. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to some of these lessons to get more details from it, you know. Turn off talk radio and all that other stuff, y'all. Listen, put some word in there. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Is that right, Brother Terry? Me, Brother Terry, we look at them news channels, you know. But you got to get off some of that politics every once in a while. I mess you up. But in detail, I'll talk about that. So I just want to put that out there so you can go back and get that. But Jesus was simply saying, once I free you from sin, the bondage of sin, then you're free forever, as long as you do what I told you. Now, verse 37, let's go back, verse 34, let's go back over there.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Yeah, see that? Go ahead.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever.
Yeah.
If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
This is all on last week's sermon. So the freedom comes only through Jesus Christ from sin. I mean, you can't be free from sin no other way. But when Jesus free, you're free indeed, or for sure. In verse 37.
I know that you are Abraham's seed.
Now, this is the beginning of the study of Abraham's seed. So I've talked about the patriarchal, mosaical, and Christian dispensations, the time periods of the Bible. Now, Jesus is coming back saying, I'm going to address this statement you made about Abraham's seed. And he said, you guys of Abraham's seed.
But you seek to kill me.
Physically. But there's a problem. You're seeking to what?
To kill me.
So spiritual descendants of Abraham would follow the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments would say, thou shalt not
kill.
Got it. So you're claiming to be spiritual Abraham's people, but you're not. So he's going to tell them who they are in a minute. Spiritual Abraham's descendants would follow the commands of God. Just like spiritual people today who call themselves Christians will follow the New Testament command. Now, many people today, they go in the Old Testament, they pull out the instruments, and they pull out tithing over there, and they bring that in. And it's a big write-up. That's what I was telling about on prosperity preaching. And what's this guy named here? He's Hilliard. And it's a big article. What was that article there, Brother Stroud? Last week's Chronicle article. But the light, you know, what it's talking about. I didn't get to read it. Brother Stroud was very good at articulating to me what they were saying. But basically it's saying prosperity preaching is the way to go these days. Because folk want to know that as long as I'm prosperous, God is blessing me, and therefore I'm saved. And so that's indicative that I'm blessed, too blessed to be distressed. Because, you know, I'm giving money. Now, you plant a seed, you reap what you sow. You plant me a seed, and all of y'all give $1,000 today. We raise this $1 million, we're going to have improve my helicopter and all these other things, he tell them. There's some seed planting going on. It really is a seeds of lies and deception, and causing people to want to indicate that they're spiritual by giving more money. And one thing we ain't gonna do here is beg for folk money. Amen. You should give right. Amen. Because you love God. You shouldn't have to be told to get right or asked to get right. You should get right because God has blessed you more than you can say. Amen, somebody. But he said, that's just offshoot of that. So these guys are considering themselves spiritual when they really are not. So verse 38, he said, I speak
that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father.
Now, here's Jesus. Now, watch this. Now, mark this in your Bible. He said, notice he says, I speak that which I have seen with who?
My father.
Now, here's the word father coming into play. And Jesus indicates his father, and it's a big F.
Yeah.
It's a big F, capital F. And their father has a little elf. And this is for the kids and the kid adults. This is significant in the exegesis, exposing of this text, that he's talking about, exposing mean going through or taken out of the text. The text is where it starts to speak and ends to speak. By the way, if you're interested in how-tos and want to be a preacher, we're starting this class next week, how-to class, how to write a sermon, how to exegete, how to expository. But I don't, you know, I'm not too big of a fan of a whole lot of big word usage, but there are some times when you got to tell them, this is kind of what I'm exposing, what's in this text right here. That's what call, that's when they say expository preaching. But you know, I'm not a fan of those who use big Greek words. Can y'all pronounce Greek? I stay with English. Me and me appeal, I do good English. But I am smart enough to look up definitions. As long as I know what it means in English, I can tell you. So this is a significant piece of this understanding this text here. So they answered and said unto him,
Abraham is our father.
Now notice this. They said, Abraham is our father.
Jesus said unto them.
Now, okay.
If ye were Abraham's children.
If you were Abraham's children.
Ye would do the works of Abraham.
We would know it by your works. If you're a child of God and you're a Christian, we're going to know by what?
Your works.
So he's teaching New Testament doctrine. He's telling them the same thing James is going to write about. Be ye doers of the word and not. Yeah. So, but now, he said, but now.
But now you seek to kill me.
But no, you're not doing what Abraham would have been doing. Because what you're doing is trying to kill me, which is a sin. And then he said, a man that
has told
you
the
truth. You're trying to kill a man that told you the truth, not a lie. Read.
Which I have heard of God.
And now he said, now what I got came from God.
This did not Abraham.
Abraham didn't do what you're doing. Notice this. Abraham was a child of God who believed in the truth God told him. God told him to go, and he believed it and went. Now, his father was God the Father, children of God the Father, big F, capital F. Know that the truth is, if you kill a man, that is sin. Amen? Listen to Jesus in the next verse now. Now, next verse, he going to shock him and tell them who they are. And the hard part for us is that he's going to tell us who we are too. Tighten up your belts. He said, I should say some of us, and maybe not all of us, hope not all of us are going to be shocked, but some of us may be shocked. Amen? Hopefully not everybody. No, this is it. Now, listen.
Ye do the deeds of your father.
Works or deeds or whatever you do. He said, you do the deeds
of your father.
Your father. Then said they to him,
we be not born of fornication.
Man, we weren't born of fornication. Now, some of the scholars seem to believe that what they're talking about here is that Jesus was born of a virgin. They think they're shooting at him that it was some fornication took place because of his birth. There's no proof to say that that's what they were talking about. But we do know fornication is sin. We can say that. Where they're saying, we're not born of sin. We weren't born because somebody fornicated. We came into this like to the world like you're supposed to come into the world through birth and through marriage. You know, fornication can be two single people. Some of y'all single that are still shacking, living together. And, you know, you may not even live. You know, you just visit. You visit apartment every once in a while. You know, You might not be shacking. You don't call it shacking because they don't stay with you. But every once they ease over there and, you know, you stay too late and fall asleep together. And say, oops. And then you have those who claim that we live together, but we ain't fornicating, you know. So I sleep on the couch and she sleep in the bedroom. But when the lights go out, When the lights go out, when the lights go out, you have the tipping time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He gonna get on the couch, he gonna tiptoe right back in there. And well, you know, a little fornication occurred. Now, it can also be applied to men and women who have sex outside of the marriage. So if fornication used both ways, not just called adultery, it's called fornication. Anytime a sexual relationship takes place, that's fornication. But that's what they're saying. Like, look here, we didn't do that. That ain't what happened. We're not born of fornication. Now, look what they said. Here's who we are. Now, they're thinking spiritual. We have one Father.
Even God.
Who is it? God. Now, Laura Gray told me to slow down last week, so she can, I hope I'm slowing. Where you at, Laura? You hear you? Unless she ain't here. I call out. Y'all tell her I said it. Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening to you all. I've been giving some good advice, too. I told y'all that last week. My brother just ministered to me and gave me some sisters. It's good advice to listen to how we can better improve what your spiritual benefits from my preaching. So I appreciate those who are doing that. Now, Jesus said,
"If God were your Father,"
there's the title. If you were looking at how did he find his title, because they were trying to determine what Father. So I said, "Now this is a good one, right? Here's what he's saying: If God were your Father,
ye would love me.
You would love me. And
for I proceeded forth, came from God.
God. And neither came I
of myself, but he sent me."
So he challenged their claim of being a child of God and that God was their Father. And he said, now condition, if God was your Father, you would love and believe the truth Jesus was telling. They would love it, and there's no way they could love God and hate the one who brought the truth. Amen. Just like we can't say we love God and hate our brother. The same parallel. So I have some applications we'll focus on now. So if God were your Father, is the thought I need you to leave with. Is God your Father? Why do you not understand
my speech?
If God were your Father, wouldn't you understand what he said? He put in condition. You would love me, you would love truth, and you would understand what I say. And then even because
ye cannot hear my word. Hear.
Jesus asked a question and then answered it. If they were listening to Jesus, they would have understood what he was teaching them. Many even today say they follow Jesus, but they don't listen to his words. Now, that's even in the church and out the church. There are many people who claim to be Christians or followers of Jesus, but they do nothing that the Bible says do. They do nothing that he says do. And so, now, he says, and I want to get to the main thought, so I'll make some deeper applications here in just a second. You're of your Father.
You are of your father, right, the devil.
There you go. It's shocking truth. We just told to these Jews. Now, you got to be them Jews. They've been claiming to be children of God. And they were calling God their Father. And here comes Jesus with a bold, straightforward statement, which is offensive. It's offensive. Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil,
and the lust of your father you will do.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
And abode not in the truth.
He didn't keep the truth.
Because there is no truth in him.
None in him.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own.
Yeah.
For he is a liar and the father of it."
Yeah, that little elf right there. The father of lies. And because I tell you the truth,
ye believe me not.
So Jesus says, here's the shocking statement, that all of them were the children of the devil. If you were a child of God, if God were your father, you would not lie. If God was your father, you would not murder. If God was your father, you would believe the truth. Here's proof that there are no big sin and little sin. Called lying and murder started in the beginning. In the garden. All this took place in the garden. Sin gets its genesis as its beginning in garden. Good Genesis chapter 3 for me. Now here's where you need to take some notes. Because I can't read all of that to you. You got to go back and get the whole story of Adam and Eve. But here's the gist of it. Start at verse 1.
Now the serpent was subtle.
I hear pages. That's a good sound. Pages are turning. That's in the front. Praise in my name of Jesus. Now the serpent
was more subtle.
And y'all know the serpent is the snake. That's why I can't stand them rascals, boy. They
more
scary
subtle.
This. A snake is just scary looking. Ugh. Because they represent the devil. The serpent was more subtle
than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
Yeah.
And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
Right, right.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die.
Now, she knew God told her not to eat, didn't he? And she told the serpent, no, that is not what God said. And the serpent says, here's the first lie, here it comes.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
That makes him the father of lies, right there. The first lie told was a change by one word, not, N-O-T. He murdered them at the same time. He was a murderer right then. He said, what, brother? He was a murderer right then. Now turn your Bible, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 45. Now, how did he murder them? How did death take place right there? Because God said, you shall surely die. Now, I was talking to someone about this text, and they said, now, what did God lie? Because they didn't die, did they? I said, that's a good question. Most people can't answer that question. Did they die?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There's death. You can't give them my board. Yeah, they died right there on the spot. You got it? Yeah, there you go. It's called spiritual death right there. At the time Eve ate of, what was it, apple or orange?
Fruit.
And somebody said, apple? It was apple, bro. They didn't read their Bible. They read a fairy tale book. I know they told us growing up, and it was apple. No, it said a fruit, don't it say fruit? The first lie. Now watch what happens here, because this is very important. So we're looking at spiritual death, not physical death. So at the time sin came in is when she did what God told her not to do. Just like sin applies to us. Now watch what happens. Verse 12, 5 through it, Romans 5 through it.
Wherefore, as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Romans 5 through 8. Now he says, all have what?
Sin.
Death pass upon all
men. For all men have sinned.
That was the first in the Garden of Adam, in the Garden of Eve. Adam, when Adam died spiritually, death passed upon him. Now, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 15, briefly, in verse 22. Let's go over there real quick.
For I want to go back. As in Adam, all die.
See, now, in Adam, he said all what?
Die.
Die.
Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive.
Now, so Adam, in the beginning, was a spiritual being. He was not physical. Adam was born a living soul. So when Adam ate the fruit, the spiritual side of Adam died. Now, if we go back and read Genesis, we don't have time to do all that, but you go ahead and read it. Read the whole story. They recognized that they were naked. And so they were no longer in a spiritual image. They could see each other. They look like we look now. They didn't look like we look in the beginning. They looked like God. See, Adam was made in the image of God. God is not physical. I saw you, D. God is not physical. God is what? Spiritual. So when Adam and Eve came into be beings, they were not like us. Once they sinned, they saw themselves, they became naked, and God had to kill an animal to cover them up. In order for us to go from physical to spiritual, there had to be an animal killed to cover up the sins. Gosh, I missed that one. That's why John said, come on, get this preacher. You're going to say amen when a preacher gives you some good stuff like this, man. I'm trying to give y'all some good meat here. But see, when John saw Jesus coming, there came the animal. Going, so now get 1 Corinthians 15, 22 for am I 22? Go to 45. Now, so when Jesus came, he became the Lamb of God, but not only was he the Lamb of God, he was the second Adam. So the death, spiritual death, was brought on by Adam number one. Physical Adam. Spiritual Adam come into the play to bring us back into an image that looks like God, which is spiritual. Listen to Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 45.
And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
Which one was that?
Adam.
In the garden. Mm-hmm. He was made.
A living soul.
A living soul. So God took him from the dust of the ground and made him a living soul. So he was a soul. Read.
The last Adam.
Now there comes another Adam. Read.
Was made a quickening spirit.
But he came to bring life or bring us back to a life that we're now dead. So when did the death occur? Oh, come on, y'all help me. When did the death occur? In the garden. And it passed on all men. So when Satan beguiled her, when Adam and them ate of the garden, all of us were murdered spiritually. Oh, man. Is it just me? Y'all don't like this deal? Come on, somebody say amen, bro. That's good stuff. You ain't got to shout on sermon. You just, man, you learn when you're educating, you know, you learn it, like, right? Okay, so I just like to be excited for myself. How about you? I'm good? Yeah. Watch this. Read on.
Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual.
There it is, see? What was the first? Spiritual, not physical. Read.
But that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
Then you so now here, let me give it to you in simple form. When we were first born from mama's womb, which Adam and Eve didn't do. They were not born of a woman. They were made, created in the image of God. So we're today never. No, you know, all of us are. And now this is not true. All of us, all man is in the image of God. No, they're not. Nope. No. The only one who was in the image of God was Adam and Eve. Because God is not a man like us. All right? So once Adam and Eve went into the physical, they could see themselves naked. And Adam then knew Eve. That's lust of the eye. And when he started lusting after Eve, she conceived. Now, in the spiritual, they couldn't have lust after each other. But when they went into the physical, that's why all of us lust after each other. Well, I mean, men and boy, somebody help me around along here. I shouldn't have said it like that. You know, so, yeah, you got men lusting after men and women after women. That's unnatural, though. And the natural thing is for a male to want a female. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Somebody ought to help me right now. That's a rough ground I'm going through. It is some hard stuff right there, big man. Is that good? All right. Now, let's do this. So, here, let me just break it down. So, Adam number one was in the garden. Adam number one went in from spiritual to physical. That's when they knew from that point on they would die. God, that's Genesis 3, 4, 5. From that point on, Adam would live until he died. And from all of us now must live the physical till we die. That's the physical death. Then there's a second death, which is the spiritual death. If you die separated from God, you'll die separated. That's separation up there on that board. That's what death is called. Make sense? So Adam number two comes into play. He comes into play, and he becomes the Lamb of God, just like God killed a lamb and an animal and coated them with it in the garden to bring them back into a relationship with him. They had to come. They had to have a lamb killed. And so to bring us back into a relationship with God, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and that lamb must die in order for us to bring us back into the image of God. Now, when we come out of our mother's womb, we're born a little baby, we're in the image of mama and daddy. Get Genesis chapter 5 for me, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 5. Now, Adam was in the image of who? God. But watch Genesis 5. Start at verse 1.
This is the book of the generation of Adam.
Yeah.
In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him.
Yeah, read.
Male
and
female.
In the likeness of who?
In the likeness of God.
He made all man. He didn't say all man. He made he? Adam.
Him.
Read.
Male and female created he them.
Them. That's Adam and Eve were both created in the image of God. Spiritual. Watch it happen now.
And blessed them and called their name Adam.
So when he said Adam, he's talking about both that became created. One just like today. Me and my wife. Ain't my wife looking a lot. What's she at, baby? Raise your hand. She look a lot better. Don't she looking just as healthy and cute now? And she got, I said, well, you know, I told her mama, I told her mama, we all might need to go to that new doctor she got. It's a good look doc. A look good doctor. he took off, but she had on a bunch of medicine, and they took off, and she's looking good, just looking just too good. I've been 38, I might get 38 more years now. I don't know, huh? Yeah, that's my Eve. She look better though, y'all, look at her. I get on sharing. What was that?
In the day when they were created.
Yeah. Oh, male or female? Is that mine or yours?
That's mine.
Okay.
Male and female created them.
So now what I was getting at was that when the male and the female come together in marriage, they become one. Now watch this now. So it requires the male and the female to know each other. That's intercourse. Adam knew Eve and she can. When Tommy knew Sharon, Rainier came. TJ came. Winky came. Well, Winky, TJ, no, Winky, Rainier, then TJ. Hell, Lord. Somebody ought to help me. Yeah. Yeah, right now. They all got, they know where they came from. But anyway. But Tommy had to know Sharon, and we became one. So when Adam knew Eve, they became one again. The church has a husband, and he has a wife, and it's the church. Christ is the husband and the church, and baptism brings there into one.
We need verse 3.
Where we at, man?
We need verse 3.
Okay, hurry up. Give me that one.
And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son now, in his own
how long
likeness.
Did he live?
130 years.
So God told him, you go what? One of the things you're going to suffer is die. And Adam and Eve going, every time she have a new Seth or a Canaan, she going to have some pain. So that's what he told us in Genesis 3. So the penalty came on him. He had to go to work. And then all of us going to die physically. Make sense? So now he says,
and begot a son in his own likeness.
You live, he lived 130 years, and then he got a son in his what?
Own likeness, after his image.
Oh! Uh-oh, there's another image came into play. The image that Seth had is the image, he didn't say Seth was in the image of God. He was in the image of
Adam,
which is physical. That makes sense? So now, the second Adam come into play to bring us back into the image of God. That's why in John chapter 3, it's a familiar text where Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom. So what? Physically, there's no flesh and blood in heaven. You got to go back into a spiritual image in order to go to heaven. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died and shed his blood to bring us back into the image of his Father. And then when we come back in the image of the Father, it's at the time we're born, not from the mother's womb, that's the first birth, but when we're born again, that's the second birth, which is the birth that brings us into the image of God that happens in baptism. And it's because an animal was killed and the blood covers the sin. Who was the animal? Christ was the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
Yeah. That take it away.
The sins of the world.
That's everything that's separated from the first Adam, the second Adam came in and took it back. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Do I got another verse that'll work with? Okay. Now, what I miss? Y'all get that? It's off the cuff stuff. Simple peace. They could not have been if God were their father. They would have been in his image. In other words, they would live according to who their father was. But they were not his father. Jesus, God was not their father. He said, no, your father is the one who lied in the garden and murdered folks. Now, here's the, everybody quote this one with me. How many of y'all know John 3:16? It's quoted. Everybody ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I want you to read that. Because I misquoted it using one word. Just like in the garden, it was a misquote. Now, America's preacher just died, and they honored him and stayed in America because he preached this doctrine here. And the Bible reads like this.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Should. If you said shall, you're repeating a lie. The lie was started by Calvinism, called the Tulip Principle. John Calvin is the starter of this grace doctrine that has dominated the belief of America. It is the belief that you're saved by grace alone. And what that means is all you got to do is believe. So if we change one word in John 3:16, the golden text, we got America and the world believing. All I got to do is believe in Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. That's why you go to funerals and all these people shouting like everybody go to heaven. No matter how they die, they in heaven. I see up their mama now. It says should not. The devil told Eve, you shall not. God told Eve,
you shall die.
You shall die. I'm just showing you how the same day that happened to Adam and Eve done happened to the world through John 3:16. Don't misquote that no more. I got to close now. I got to close. Let's go back over that. I gave y'all some stuff there to think about. That was good, wasn't it? Verse 46, 47, I'll be finished. Which of you convinced me of sin?
Which of you convinced me
and
of
he's
sin?
There, how y'all can prove that I'm telling a lie? If I say
and
the
if
truth.
If I say the truth, why do
you if you can't
not
prove that I'm
me?
Lying and I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe it?
He that is of God heareth God's
words. Here's the
words.
Problem. You ain't of God. God's not your father. He hitting them now hard. He that is of God heareth these words, heareth God's word. And
ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
So what's the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil? A child of God do what God said. A child of the devil don't do what God said. Which are you? Now that's the hard, that's the shot. That's the hammer. Because now you can't be both.
That's true.
You can't be both. That's what they were trying to do.
Can't be both.
So ask yourself, right now, based on whom, let's go to Romans 6:16. Based on Romans 6:16, every one of us have to say, the way I'm living, my father is the devil. Read.
Know ye not?
Know you not.
That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey.
Read.
Whether of sin unto death.
There's that spirit of death right there.
Or of obedience unto righteousness.
Or you can obey the word of God and stay righteous. Now here it is. If you're willfully living in sin, and you know that what you're doing is absolutely against the will of God, you know that's a willful sin. And I've always said to you all, if you want to get to heaven, be real. Don't fake it. You know you need some more time, and you know your prayer to the church need to be, Lord, give me more time to get this thing out of my life because it's separating me from you. And because it separates me from you, I am a child of the That hurt. Don't that hurt? Oh, Lord, have mercy. How many of y'all ain't never sinned? And how many of y'all have willfully sinned and you knew it? Huh? Come on, be real now. You don't willfully sin and know it? You're choosing whomever you're choosing a father. At that time, you're choosing a father, which is the devil. If you die like this, you will die separated from God the Father, the big elf God. You're serving a little elf. But God sent a second Adam to bring us back into his image. And that second Adam died and shed his blood that we could get out of sin by confessing our faults one to another and praying for each other. He brought us that salvation. That's grace right there. That's grace. That's mercy on the cross. He died on the cross. He suffered on the cross. He bled on the cross. He was a lamb on the cross. God sent him to the cross. He hung on the cross. Grace was on the cross. Truth was on the cross. Blood came from the cross. And he gave us the chance to be baptized in that blood. And if we walk in the light as he's in the light and do what Jesus said do, the blood will cleanse us up when we fall again. There's always hope. All you got to do is say you confess your fault or you confess your sins. He's just. to forgive us. Even though I may say I'm willfully living in sin, I know I have hope because of the blood. As long as I live the physical life and I don't die in it, I can get that thing right. So how many of us need to get that right this morning? If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Understand this. You are not of your father. If you were of God, were your father, you would hear the gospel, how Jesus suffered for you, how he bled for you, how he hung for you, how he died for you. You would believe that all with all of your heart, number two. You would repent of your sins, number three, Luke 13, 3. You would confess Jesus to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, Acts 15:7. You would then confess him, believe in him, and then be baptized to contact the blood of the Lamb. And that blood of the Lamb is in the watery grave of baptism. When the sins are washed away, it brings you back into a spiritual image of God. You receive the Holy Spirit. You can talk to God and you can ask for forgiveness from God because God is your Father. That's good. That's good. That's just as good as it gets right there. I thank God for the grace and mercy. Is that right? Thank him for the cross. Thank you for 5 minutes. I asked you 5 minutes. Thank you so much. But what I want y'all to do now, if you hear, don't be afraid in your mind to say, you know, if I go up front and I confess and people gonna look at me for no. The thing about being a Christian is being real. You know, sometimes we gotta make a confession. Sometimes we gotta come and they'll tell you, you can't start this life without being baptized. You got to be baptized. So today, if you want to be baptized, you come into the image of God, and we can baptize you this morning. You can confess this morning. You can ask for prayer this morning that God will give you time, that he gives you mercy. You ask for prayers because the prayers of the righteous avail it much. You can come. We got a song of encouragement. We're going to sing the song. What's the name of it? Yeah, boy, that's a good one. Your grace and mercy. It was the grace and mercy that hung on the cross. And I'm so glad. I don't know about you. But every time I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Amen. Forgiveness is something you can't buy. It is something you got to be given freely. And God gives us freely. That forgiveness, all we do is ask him, and he's forgiven. We can do with his word, y'all. All we got to do is stay on this course. Fight the fight. Fall, get up, ask for forgiveness, go back to God, and live until you die in the image of God. If you come, want to come as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement.